Amen. Thank you so much. So this is my lovely wife. Her name is Sonica. And we are celebrating 18 years of marriage on Sunday. Epic marriage. Best ever.
Only one he knows, so yes, it must be the best.
Indeed, indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, awesome. So we're going to share stories with you tonight, and in every session, we're going to stir your faith. So a big part of this weekend is about shifting your mindset. But first, it's awesome to be here. Richard, Jolene, you guys do so well. This church is, God is really blessing the church so much, and awesome to be invited. Richie like, oh, is there any gap somewhere in the program? And like, maybe the last weekend of the term might work. I don't think anybody's going to come, but so here you are. Praise God. It's a miracle. I need to take a photo for my archive. Come on, can you look like happy people? Big smile. Okay, now look like you're really happy. Lift a hand or something, man. Come on. Ah. Yeah, I say. Fake it till you make it. Kidding. Just kidding. So, it's a great honor for us to be here. And you know, the Lord has been using me and Sonica to help individuals, but also churches, to step into another dimension of the presence and the power of God. So I went to Argentina in 2015, I think it was, second term 2015, church about 200 to 300 people. And the pastor said to me about a month after we were there, he said, nothing's the same. Everything's changed. I mean, they had to have a special service for all the testimonies of people getting healed and getting set free. They haven't had miracles in their church for 20 plus years. And God just broke out. Incredible, incredible things that happened. I'm going to share some of that stories with you. But tonight, I want to make one point for tonight's session. When you have the presence of God in your life, you have everything. When you have everything, but not the presence of God, you have nothing. And so one of the biggest shifts that we've made in our lives, and it was often tribulation and trials and much tears and pain that pushed us into a corner to become desperate for God. And that sort of pushed us into a place where we wanted more of God. So I want to share with you the ABCs of Holy Spirit impact. A, B, C, D. Got to make it really simple. A, B, C, D. But I want to ask you a question. So around, or what did Israel, in the Old Testament, what did they build their community around? Can you remember? You read the Old Testament. They came out of Egypt. They were slaves. What did they build camp around? The tabernacle. And the tabernacle represented the presence of God, the tangible, glorious presence of God. Later it became the temple of Solomon. But again, it was all about the presence of God. They built their lives around the presence of God, around the glory cloud. If the glory moved, they moved. In the New Testament, every one of us becomes a temple, a mobile house for God. And what we have learned is that, you know, to give you some background, 10 years of full-time ministry I was in 2012. 10 years of ministry, I saw two people physically healed, and the one I'm not really sure. 10 years of full-time ministry. And then in 2012, we became absolutely desperate Some background is Sonic, we went to East London in 2009, end of 2008. Sonica was pregnant with our son. She was 8 months pregnant when we arrived at East London. So we moved from Cape Town. She wasn't going to work for 7 months. She was pregnant for 8 months at the time. The church had 15 to 20 people in. Couldn't get my house sold in Cape Town. It was stood empty for 8 months. Losing about 10,000 rand a month at that time. And now I am in East London. And I was like, Lord, what am I doing here? This is not a wonderful setup. I've never prayed as much in my life. But about 6 months in to our season in East London, Sonica began to battle with, we believe it was a postnatal depression, and she started to really to battle to sleep. So like for 3 years of hell, terrible insomnia that, you know, I would wake up in the evenings and at 2 o'clock at night, and I would find her on the bathroom floor and just weeping. You know, she can't sleep. I thought she's going to lose. Just, there were the first 3 years like in East London, and it was a terrible, terrible season. I literally prayed for her hundreds of times, and I'm not exaggerating. Literally, sometimes twice a night, pray for her to whatever this is, devil go, or if it's sick, whatever, let's be healed. Hundreds of times praying, and nothing changed. And I had to face the reality that I have a theology that God is powerful, but I don't have the reality of God being powerful. And I'm a pastor. I'm a tongue-speaking, spirit-filled pastor. I thought I am full of the Holy Spirit. And we discovered, even though you pray in tongues, it doesn't mean that you are full of the Holy Spirit. Big difference. Massive difference. And so we became desperate. Absolutely desperate. I was like, I made an announcement in our church. I mean, I've been 10 years of full-time ministry. Maybe 2 people physically healed. So if you look at my past, there is no sign that this is for me. There's no evidence that the power of God is for me. If you look at my past, I should not try. Let it go. But I was so desperate because I felt like I'm losing my wife and our family. We have no joy. We have no fun. The smallest little thing would trigger it, then she would not be able to sleep. And it was a nightmare. And I know it was a battle to sleep. It was really challenging. And so in that 2012, April 2012, we went on holiday again. And as we, again, same thing, couldn't sleep. It was just, again, nightmare. And then I went back to East London. I said, God, I had a meeting with God. I said, Lord, we can't do this anymore. So I made an announcement in church. And I said to the guys, we are going to pursue the power of God. Come hell or high water, but we're going to pursue the power of God. I don't care what anybody says, for the sake of my wife, for the sake of our church people. There's so many people living failing lives, not getting victory. We lacked the power of God in our church. You know, I mean, so we stepped out, and we'll share some of the stories of how God led us on a journey, but I mean, even like the one we then, because Pastor Sias from Stellenbosch was the guy that was doing Schools of the Supernatural. And I think he once came to us as well. It was nice and everything, but we still didn't walk in it. And so we decided we're going to do a School of the Supernatural, but we're not going to invite anybody. It's us. We're going to make this. Jesus, man, so we prayed. Me and the elders, we prayed up a storm before the time. The church came. We're psyched. We're trusting Jesus. I mean, at the time, even while Sonica was battling with the sleep, and then her skin broke out. She battled with psoriasis for many, many years. And so her skin was breaking out, and it was such a challenge. I mean, even just, she would get up in the mornings, and the blood would run down her arms and her legs as the skin would crack open. And I was just like, oh, God, I'm asking for healing. Healing, not more sickness. And so we had the School of the Supernatural evening. Man, we stepped out. We were trusting God for words of knowledge. We prayed. Nothing happened. We sucked. Solidly. There is now a level zero. Us. Zero. We tried words of knowledge. Not one was right. Only the one elder's wife. She got one word of knowledge correct. The rest of us sucked. It's terrible. I was very depressed afterwards. I was really battling. And I'll share some of the rest. But the Lord started to move in the weeks following. Sonica got healed 2012. She was healed. Her skin was healed. The insomnia was healed. And two other people, their backs or shoulders were healed. I was like, yes. 2012. And then at the end of 2012, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there's an outpouring of healing coming. Trust me for this. So the next 3 years, just over the next 3 years, we had 1,200 people physically healed, approximately. Counting testimonies, follow-ups with many people still healed. And the Lord started to move powerfully. We went from squat, level zero. No good history. No idea what the heck we're doing. But Jesus. And what I love about this is if God can do this for us, He can do this for you. There are no super apostles. They're just believers who have positioned themselves in the presence of God. And then the kingdom comes. Amen. So come on, let's say, this is for me. This will revolutionize your church. You will never be the same again. Personally, you'll never be the same again. Your church will never be the same again. Our church has been transformed. Because of anything can happen now. Anything can happen. So the Israel and in the book of Acts, you also, if I ask the question, what did they build their lives around? They built their lives around the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of God. That's what the church in Acts was all about. You see, when you have the presence of God, you have everything. But when you have everything but not the presence of God, you have nothing. Come on, say nothing. So Acts chapter 6, verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of faith, come on, say full of faith, and power, he did great wonders and signs among the people. There you have it. That's what you need. Full of faith and power. A mind renewed, aligned with Scripture, faith, full of faith and power. The power represents the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Power, full of the Holy Spirit. If you have those two components, you will see, you will experience signs and wonders manifesting in your life. And it changes everything because God is suddenly in the house. Those two things. And so we were at a church in Manaus. It's a city on the Amazon River. Church of about 6,000 people. So the Lord opened a door for us to go and minister there and do a conferences there and demonstrate, basically. You see this in the Bible. Jesus preached the kingdom of God, and then what did He do? He preached it, and then He demonstrated it. He didn't just preach it and say, hey, bless you guys. Have a lovely life. He preached it. He said, guys, good news. The kingdom is at hand. It's the kingdom is here now. He proclaimed His realm, His kingdom. He said, guys, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And then He demonstrated it. So we went to Manaus, to the city. Big church, man. I'm so out of my depth. I've been like, woo, 6,000 people. Jesus, who am I? But we stepped out, took a team there. I tell you, the moment we just landed in Brazil, it was just suddenly signs and wonders. The first morning, so we're staying at the pastor's house. We have breakfast the first morning after a long flight. And so his wife, the senior pastor's wife, says, no, for the last 3 months, if she tilts her head back, she blacks out. So we pray for her. She gets instantly healed. Then we pray for the senior pastor's knees. Love soccer, Brazilian. And his knees get healed. Then we pray for the other guy. I mean, this is breakfast. We haven't started yet. So this is breakfast. So then we pray for the lady that is sort of just working in the house. Holy Spirit reveals there's a demonic spirit binding her. She gets delivered from a demon. That was breakfast. So afternoon, one of the pastors who came, his hearing was partially healed, not 100%, but like 50% improvement in his hearing. Pray for the other pastor's mom, who had 20 years of arthritis. She's completely healed. Praise God. Then we have the first night of the revival conference, and I preach about healing and the power of God. And then I'm like, okay, now I want to demonstrate this to you. So I've preached now about Jesus being the healer. I've now declared who God is. I've proclaimed the kingdom. Now we're going to demonstrate. So now I'm like, we're just going to sort of show you how to pray for somebody with no expectation anything's going to happen. But so now we're like, okay, so I'm like, if you're sick, raise your hand. So there's like 500 or so leaders and so there. And so now the half of the place's hands go up. And I sort of just highlight five people that stand out to me and say, come. And then a sixth person storms onto stage as well. Because like, oh, you will pray for me. So they are on stage. The six of them standing. I have now a guy, Oak from South Africa, coming to proclaim that Jesus heals. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm hoping I do. So luckily Jesus knows what he's doing. So now we like I get my team around them. And now for about 2 minutes, we prayed. So I was just like, just releasing the presence of God over them. Within about 2 minutes, it was like a wave, an unseen wave of the Holy Spirit crashed into them. Five of the six go down to the floor. The one goes down screaming. I think another one might also be screaming. Delivered of demons. And five of the six were healed of whatever conditions they had, 20-year plus conditions in their bodies. The sixth person took about 10 minutes to pray for her until she was healed. Do you know what the result was? There was a man of God in the house, they thought. It was unbelievable what shifted in that church. Suddenly, the word of God came alive to that congregation. It was like the miracles that happened, the demonstration of the kingdom glorified Christ, and suddenly they were hearing, they were listening. That's what the Bible says in the book of Acts. And the word of God multiplied, was amplified because of the signs and wonders that happened. I so try to teach teachers this. If you would just have a few miracles, the guys will really believe the word of God. But the name of Christ was glorified. And it was just, and then, I mean, it was amazing. We had about 400 people healed that week. 400 people. People were delivered of demons. 150 people came to Christ. It was incredible what God was doing. But it took a few people to proclaim who Jesus is. And then to do the most stupidest thing ever. Okay, now we're going to demonstrate it. Please come forward. I tell you, every time I do this, every time I demonstrate, I'm just like, I just want to show you how to pray for somebody. This is sort of the process. Then Jesus pitches up and he rocks people's lives. Come on, let's say it. Anything's possible with God. I promise you, when faith is in the house, the kingdom comes. The only place we find where Jesus could not do miracles was in his own hometown, when there was a lot of unbelief. But I can feel there's a lot of hunger in this house. Amen. Amen. A lot of hunger, a lot of thirst for what God is going to do. Amen. So I go around preaching about kingdom culture. And so basically what this is about is if you create a specific atmosphere, if you create a specific culture in you and around you, then God the Holy Spirit comes. You see, Jesus technically is in heaven. Father God is in heaven. Who's here? Holy Spirit. A large percentage of the Church of Jesus Christ only speaks about the Holy Spirit, but doesn't give the Holy Spirit the freedom to move. So when I was in Manaus in this church there, when the one evening I got onto stage and the Lord said to me, make my bride beautiful. Make my bride beautiful. And for me and Sonica, that's our life call, I believe, to make the bride of Christ beautiful and powerful. So we want to help you here tonight. Okay, so full of faith and power. So the thing that shifted us from 2 healings in 10 years to 1,200 and just over 3 was the moving of a mountain on the inside. You see, about 2 years ago, the Lord said to me, the only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. The only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. No, the finance is not the problem. The sickness is not the problem. The issues are not the problem. The mountain is not the problem because there's a mountain moving God. The mountain's not the problem. The problem is the unbelief. And the Church of Jesus Christ is sick with the cancer of unbelief. There's a cancer worse than physical cancer. It's called unbelief. It's a sickness of the soul, a sickness of the mind, a sickness of our beings. And I had that. There's a massive fight concerning faith. Not just that God can, but that God will. Not that just that God can, but that God will through me or through you. Because we can believe, well, God works for Andre, but who am I? But that's the unbelief breakdown. And you need to shift it. We see that with everybody, and we have some of our guys sharing their stories as well. But we see this with everybody that joins our teams. People get healed under their prayers. The kingdom comes through them. With one guy, I mean, for 10 years, he was a drug addict, bar owner, messed up guy. His name is Martin. He came to Christ. He returned to Christ in September last year. He joined us on our outreach in end of January in a location area. He counted 10 people that were healed through his prayers. So it's not about how long you've been in the kingdom. I was a pastor for 10 years. I had no faith. I had no faith. I would preach, but I didn't have the guts to step out. You need to step out. The only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. So you need to move the bad theology. You need to move your unbelieving thinking. You need to remove the doubting from it. And this is where the fight is. There's a massive fight for faith. I would pray for people when we started off. First time in India. I'll share later about that. But, you know, we had a whole lot of people healed. Next morning I get up and I don't think it was real. Is there such an assault on our faith that even that when it happens, the enemy wants to come and steal the miracle? Because, you know, have you read the Bible? There's a lot of miracles. There's a lot of miracles. Jesus, a lot of miracles. The apostles and other disciples, a lot of miracles. The Bible is full of miracles. That is God's plan. That is God's norm. You proclaim the kingdom and then you demonstrate the kingdom. Why? So that the name of Christ can be glorified and so that people will turn to him. Not because he loves people, so he wants to heal and set free. So, move the unbelief. So, I want to ABCD you. A, you need to be anchored in God if you want to move in the power of God. Psalm 62 verse 11 to 12, we'll unpack it over this weekend. But it says, God has spoken plainly. I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Power. Come on, say power. Power, power belongs to you. Our God is powerful. That's who he is. So it also says there, unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. He is love. So he is powerful, even when I don't see his power manifest. Now, I've learned this. You need to be anchored in who he is. He is the healer, even when I don't see him heal. My faith isn't moved when I pray for somebody, whether they're healed or not. I know who Jesus is. He is the healer. And I will pray for you until you get healed in Jesus' name. We call it the pit bull anointing. Affectionately, my people call me say I have a pit bull anointing. But we will pray for you, and we will pray for you again, and we will pray for you again. We will pray until Jesus touches you. But how do we normally pray for people? We pray, dear Jesus, if it is your will, please heal today. And then, what do? We slowly walk away. Because we know nothing happened. Huh? Isn't that so? Or we pray from afar. In most churches, the only purpose of prayer for the sick is when they're dying. Goodbye. Bless you. But Jesus, he spoiled actually every funeral. There were no funerals on Jesus. He just raised people from the dead. Our unbelief is in that very moment. So how do we pray for people? We command. Because God has given us authority. So we'll share with you tomorrow morning specifically. But he's given us authority to release his kingdom and to release his power over people's lives. And then we don't slowly walk away. We like, okay, test, move that shoulder, move that leg. Come on, you couldn't see just now, but try and see now. And if nothing changed, we pray again. And then we pray again. I always pray at least 3 times, so we'll get there tomorrow morning. But you need to be anchored in who God is. He is the Savior of the world. He is the deliverer. He is the provider. He is the healer. That's who he is. I'm anchored in who God is. My life never falls apart. I prayed for somebody, it didn't happen. My life is not falling apart. Because Jesus, I know who you are. We will pray again. We will trust again. Amen. You need to be anchored in who God is, not in what you see. Faith is to be anchored in who God says he is. Amen. Then the B, you need to believe. You need to believe that God's power is for you right now. Come on, let's say it. This is for me. Right now. You need to believe it. You need to believe. You need to believe that the power of God is for you right now. As I said, the only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. Amen. So I want to introduce Stefan and Nastasha. They've been with us for 2 years, and they are now in Somerset West, and they are an awesome couple. Give them a hand.
Good evening, everyone. Andre said, we just moved to Somerset West. We've spent a season in East London, and God radically changed our lives in that season. I've been saved for 10 years now. I gave my heart to God in the end of 2008. But the presence and the fact that God is present has changed my life dramatically in 2 ways in my season in East London. And the first way is in my personal intimacy with the Lord. So for the first 8 years of my walk with God, I would spend time with him, but I would not enjoy it. So I would go to God, I would read my Bible, I will tick all the lists, do everything we need to do, and it will be kind of creak in that moment, and then I'll go on. And then after 2 or 3 days of doing that, I will grow irritated, or I would feel like, I don't know, there's no real evidence in my time with him that God is alive. So then I will skip a week or so, and then I will feel guilty again, and I'll go back. And then for 80% or 90% of the time, I would then just apologize. So, sorry, God, I haven't spent time with you. Sorry, God, I'm such a big failure. Sorry, God. And I will just, whenever I approach God and his presence, because the Lord says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So my experience with drawing near to God was one of discouragement. It's one of I'm not able, not good enough, and I just felt guilty, always guilty in his presence. And then, so what happened is, in our season in East London, I started hearing people actually enjoying God's presence. And I started people speaking about God is sharing this with me, and God is doing this. And I was like, but I don't have that. I don't go to God and experience that. And I wanted that. I was hungry and hungry and hungry, and I desired for that to be part of my life. because I want to know God personally. So I started, and there was a hunger just brewing in my heart to meet with the living God. And so it was in January 2017, I just started spending time with God every day and just asking him, God, I want to meet with you. Nothing more special than that. Just, God, I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you. People have experienced you so much, I can't relate. I know you for 8 years, but I can't relate. Because to me, to meet God was a once-off at that conference or this weekend or like once or twice a year. If I'm happy, I can meet God. But all the other times, I need to work, and it's difficult, and it's a struggle. But anyway, so 2 weeks later or like 2 weeks into this journey, I remember just worshiping God in my room. And while I was worshiping, he just made himself known to me. And I was just crying. I just sat there in his room crying, and I experienced God like never before, in my own room, not at a conference, in my own room, in my own house. And that just really changed everything for me. Because ever since then, I would experience God when I go to him. I would have moments like this morning. I was probably very embarrassing, but I was a ballet dancer this morning there in the room, just enjoying God, just loving going to God. And then God will speak. And just, so my life has drastically turned around because the fact is God is always present. And now when I think about God and going to God and his presence, I know that he is my hope. He is my strength. He is my refuge. And I go with him with an expectation that my Father will meet with me and I will leave there filled, needing nothing. And it's really become my happy place. It's become my strength. And I desire that. I desire to go with God. So to go to God. So the fact that God is present has changed my intimacy with him dramatically. And what dramatically? Sorry, Afrikaans. But the effect of that, it obviously had an effect on my outflow. So usually in the first 8 years, when we minister to people and pray in front of church and we pray for people, I would be very scared, to be honest. Because you come to the front and people expect something and you need to pray and you don't really know what to pray. So I prayed this beautiful prayers, but I had to deal with the fact that nothing ever happened. Like I would pray, like Andre mentioned earlier, I would pray and then walk away, but there's no evidence that God actually did something in that moment. And just in our church, in our culture there, I started realizing, but flip it. When these people pray, or when Andre prays, like people get touched, they start crying, they fall over, people get healed, like lives are changing in this ministry moment. And I don't know that. I don't know how do you get to that point where God actually moves in that space. So I actually went to Andre and I asked him, like, What do you do? Or like, what's your key here? And he shared it with me. I'll share it with you. He said, basically, whenever he prays for people, he just focuses on God and him being present with God, and then he released that over people's lives. And that's exactly what I started doing. Once I've realized that praying for people is not about me or my beautiful word and my persuasive words and plans, but it's just me. All that I can do is focus on a living God and his presence and release what he's put in me. Then it will have an effect. And ever since I've embraced that culture of just God's presence for someone else, I've seen people healed. I've seen them touched. I've seen them cried. I've seen God speaking words of knowledge and wisdom and everything. So I've seen that the power of God operates. For 8 years, I didn't pray with any power, but I prayed with might and with a strong will and all my strength, but the lack of power. But the past 2 years, there's been power, and the Holy Spirit has come and has actually allowed in those moments to change destinies, which is awesome. And and my wife will share now before she comes to the front. I just want to say that my wife, you can really receive from her. I've seen her pray for hundreds and hundreds of people this past 2 years. And I've seen her boldly step out after being rejected and after being laughed at and after times of being accepted. I've just seen her over and over again in shopping centers, in malls and everywhere, just praying for people and releasing the kingdom of heaven. So I want you guys to really listen to my wife, because she is not only changing, she's not only bringing the kingdom in church, but she's really bringing the kingdom everywhere she goes, and there's a great testimony effect of that. So, yeah, she will just share about the presence and stepping out.
So, I'm Nastasha. I'm 32 years old, and I've been saved for 14 years. And for me as well, there's been a, a massive difference between the first 12 years of my journey with God and the last 2 years with God. So right after I gave my life to Jesus, people were already telling me God's plan for my life, that I'm going to see many people saved through my life and that I'm going to see many people healed through my life. But in the first 12 years, I practically saw nothing. I saw maybe in two hands how many people I led to salvation, and I didn't see healing at all. But I don't think I prayed for anyone for healing. But I desired it. I remember driving to work every morning. I was praying to God in the mornings when I wake up. I'm like, God, give me a divine appointment today. Give me an opportunity today. And most evenings I would drive home and I would be like, nothing happened. My day was just like everyone else's day. And maybe every 5 months something happened at work that was significant that God did. But I had such a desire for God to save people through my life. And then we got married, Stefan and I, 2 years ago, and we moved to East London, and we were part of Shofar East London. And right from the beginning when we got there, Andre and Sonika did a teaching series for a whole 3 months in church. They spoke about the fact that God heals, and not only did they speak about the fact that God heals, but every single Sunday people were getting healed in front, and I started praying for people, and I saw a lady's ankle get healed when I prayed for her. And then I was meeting new people at my new job, and every single person I'm meeting in the kitchen practically is telling me that there's something wrong with them, that like that the one has endometriosis and the one has insomnia and the one has migraines and this one's father has cancer. And it was just like every person I'm meeting, there's something wrong with them. And I was like, but Jesus is healing people in church yesterday, so I'm going to start praying for people. And I started praying for people for healing, and Stefan calls it the bathroom ministry, because I was praying for women in the bathroom every day for healing, and people were getting healed. There was one lady that was at that stage when she told me she couldn't sleep for more than 5 minutes at a time. So she would sleep, wake up, and she was on hectic tablets and stuff, couldn't sleep. We prayed for her, and God's healing power was present and touched her and healed her, because the next day she came to work, she said she slept for 4 hours, prayed again, 6 hours, prayed again, next day she comes into our office, she slept for 12 hours. and it's 2 years later, and she's still sleeping. And so I was now seeing people getting healed in my workplace, people getting saved in my workplace. After a year and a half of working there, I prayed for 30 people plus. I saw a few people give their lives to Jesus. But then I had a desire for this to hit the streets, for it not just to be in church and in my workplace, but for the people that I meet, because I just see people and I'm like, they don't know Jesus. And how can they know Jesus in the 2 minutes that I'm in the shop, I'm meeting the cashier or the waitress or doing the park run? There's all these people that don't know Jesus. And so I started asking God, I want words of knowledge. I want prophetic words. I want something that's going to touch people's lives in a 1 second conversation that I'm having with them. And so if anyone was like operating in words of knowledge in our church or anything, I'm just like, pray for me, I also want it. So I just got lots of invitation. And then something radical happened at a Todd White conference as well. I really got touched by God there. And after that, I just started prophesying and praying for everyone in the streets and everywhere. And now in the past 2 years, I've been able to lead about 50 plus people to salvation. And I've seen Jesus heal a lot of people. I've prayed for hundreds of people compared to no people in the first 12 years. And just a cool story from about 3 weeks ago, one Sunday we were at the airport and I just shared the gospel with this one guy outside smoking, and I came back in and I was walking past this lady, and I realized now we sometimes, like, it feels like people are highlighted to us. It's not, they just, you like almost notice them a bit more than other people. And I realized it's actually just the Holy Spirit saying, I notice them, I want you to approach them. And so I noticed this one lady at the airport, and I thought, okay, I'm going to share the gospel with her, but I'm on the way to the bathroom. And when I came, while I'm going to the bathroom, God said to me, no, but I want you to ask her this and this and this, not to share the gospel. So I'm like, okay. But these thoughts just sound like my thoughts all the time, and I only know if it's God if I ask the person. So I went to her, I introduced myself, and I'm like, I just feel like God's saying these things to me. Can I just share it with you? And she says, yes. And I said, I feel she's at a crossroads with her work. And this other thing that I felt, I really thought it was just me. I said, I feel like you just broke up with a boyfriend and it's left you very disappointed just about life in general. And she just started crying. She's like, yes, they broke up 4 months ago. And God just touched her just through that word that I could never have known with a stranger. And I could pray over her and she experienced God. And so Andre's going to speak about more about the presence of God. But I've been asking God, what is the presence of God that we keep talking about that's changed our lives? Like, how do we shift? Like, what does this even mean? God is present. Like, what does this mean? And the Holy Spirit said to me last year, it's very easy. It means that God's present. So if Stefan is standing here, and in our life groups and in church, I'm talking about Stefan all the time, but I'm never looking at him. I'm never hearing what he's saying. I'm never allowing him to bring his personality and atmosphere. And if he were powerful, like I'm not allowing him to be powerful, then, I mean, like God is really powerful, so that's why I'm saying that. But like, everything shifts when we just say, okay, God is with me here. God wants to speak here. Like, God wants to move here. God's healing power wants to be demonstrated here. And then just do it. So it's just a shift in that we look at He's present. Yeah.
Awesome. But again, the point is they did not experience this until 2 years ago. So if they can shift, you can shift. Amen. Come on, let's say, this is for me. And I promise you, you come alive. You come alive in your relationship with God. The purpose of your relationship is no longer, how far can I not sin too badly? You know, because, you know, I want Jesus, I want to go to heaven, but I also want the world. But now when you catch this, you're like, man, how much of God can I have in my life? How much of my being can I surrender to Him? It's a completely different game. And so we want to help you. So the first one is A, be anchored in who God is. The second one is B, you need to believe in this is for you right now. You need to believe this is for you, not for the person next to you, but for you. Because that activates this gives you access to the power of God. And so in my book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, I speak about this. But Revelation 22 verse 1 says, He showed me a pure river of water of life proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. There's a river flowing from the throne of God. And then Jesus comes in John chapter 7 and He says, verse 38, He who believes in me, come on, say believes. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It does not say, he who is awesome, he who's fifth generation pastor, he who was born with glory resting upon him. No, it says, he who believes in me. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Exactly as Stefan says, you know, when you pray for people, you want the kingdom to come, is literally, you're just a conduit of life flowing through you. You know? So when you pray for people and nothing happens, that just means you're empty. You're going to get filled up. Tongue speaking pastor 10 years, I didn't realize I am empty. So you need to shift your lifestyle. Instead of fighting in the flesh, trying to do things in your own ability, it says, okay, God, here I am, fill me up until I have something to bless this world with. Amen. Until the presence of God comes and rests upon you, and then the kingdom comes. Subtle shift, but massive shift. You need to believe it's for you. So, You can also check us out. I've got a diagram, a fivefold ministry diagram. I believe there are five rivers. My wife says there's a sixth one. It's called the river of romance. I think she's right. It's a very powerful river, that one. But it's five. We're talking about this weekend about Holy Spirit impact. Basically, each of the fivefold ministry represents an anointing. So it's the Holy Spirit, but a different flavor. So if you have like a soda fountain, Fanta, Coca-Cola, Sprite, it's all soda, different flavors. Same way, there are five anointings. There's probably more, but there are five primary anointings. And Jesus said, when I release this into the church, when I've given the fivefold ministers to the body of Christ to cause the body of Christ to step into the fullness of Christ. So he gives the evangelists an evangelistic anointing. So when an evangelist or someone that has an evangelistic anointing on their life, they can sing like Hansie Slim and people get saved. Because they have that anointing. Now the good news is, the evangelist is appointed by God to equip the body of Christ for what? To be evangelistic, highly evangelistic. So you might not be an evangelist, but you can be very, very evangelistic. And I tell you, when you are very, very evangelistic, over time you just become an evangelist. Because then you start to equip the saints and you start to pull others into that same river, into that same flow. So the evangelist is deep in that river of that anointing. Now this is the good news. All you and I need to do is to reposition ourselves from the edge of the river into the middle. And then a river of life is going to flow through you. You're going to sing Hansie Slim and people are going to get saved by the anointing. Come on, go read your Bible. Acts chapter 2. Peter. Before Acts chapter 2, what was he? Shocking. He was a fisherman, and every time he fished, he didn't even fish. He caught nothing. He was useless. He denied Christ. They were afraid. They ran away. Then what happened? On the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, 3,000 men turned to Jesus. They were cut to the heart. What changed? Peter sort of found himself in the middle of the river. And it was amazing. I promise you, this is the truth. I've seen this in my own life. If you reposition yourself, how? Through the Word of God, through values that you find from Scripture, and you receive God's heart, your heart starts burning for the lost, and you find yourself going deeper and deeper into the river of that anointing, that evangelistic anointing, and you see the kingdom comes. The prophetic, the presence host, the prophetic flow. The moment you get into the prophetic flow, you find yourself hearing the voice of God. So we were like ankle deep in the prophetic in 2012. Well, we hear a word every now and again. We did a prophetic course from a real prophet guy. Did a prophetic course, took everybody through it. You know, the prophetic flow increased so much as we moved deeper. That the prophetic words, it was like 1 minute. Well, actually it was like 10 minutes, but slow. You know, the old internet? Slow, okay? Hi, and then maybe another word, and then it didn't want to go. And as we moved deeper, suddenly a whole church started. They will share about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about the prophetic in the afternoon session. But it was like just suddenly there was just incredible prophecies that started, and prophecies that actually came to pass. Aren't you tired of having words and they're just sitting there and there's squat happening? Do you know how many words I've seen already fulfilled in the last 6 years? Simply got an upgrade in the prophetic. Real words with real power behind them, and God causes them to come to pass. You must just get into the prophetic flow. And when you get into the apostolic flow, the apostolic, what I see is the apostolic anointing. That's about demonstrating the kingdom. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Have you read that scripture? These signs will follow those who are awesome. Those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. They'll cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want to rebuke that lie of the enemy that the gifts are only for special people. It is for the foolish people. It's for the nobodies. It's for the nobodies. God likes to use nobodies because then he gets glorified. I'm a nobody. But God loves to use nobodies. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I'm going to democratize the gift of healing in the body of Christ. It was never meant for a few special elite. It's for the anybodies. We see it in our church, anybody. We had a team of 40, 45 people at our last outreach. Everybody prayed for somebody that got healed. Amen. So the third point is the C. You need to carry his presence. So in 2015, before we went to Argentina, our team, we were praying, and I saw a vision of, you know, the well-known scene of Jerusalem and Jesus entering on the donkey. You know that story? So like this wonderful procession, everybody's cheering like, yes, wonderful, Jesus. But in the vision I saw, I didn't see Jesus, I only saw a donkey. Crowds of people cheering. Yes, and the donkey walking. I was like, Lord, what is that? And the Lord said to me, this is my church. A lot of activities, but I am not present. Man, that rocked my world. That rocked my world. You see, the donkey represents you and me. Without Jesus, we are like donkeys going for a walk. I cannot heal a headache. I can do nothing. I mean, that story I shared about Manaus, the man of God, I know I am nothing without Jesus. I'm a donkey. But God uses his power to say, I am with this person. So the people will hear and get saved. Amen. So the donkey has no power of himself. But when Jesus is on top of the donkey, and that donkey is going through that procession, it is God invading a city. Massive difference. The donkey going for a walk or God invading a city. I believe God wants to invade cities. He wants to invade our communities. He wants to invade our homes, our schools, our lives. He wants to invade everywhere. How? You and me carrying his presence. Amen. That donkey's greatest moment of his life was carrying Jesus into Jerusalem. For you and me, our greatest honor, our greatest privilege is to carry his presence upon us and say, Lord, where do you want to go? Who do you want to touch? Her cool God, let's, yes, Jesus, kingdom come. It is so awesome. You know? It's like you know, that I figured out where Marvel comics get their ideas. And the scripture says, and they marveled. And they marveled. And they marveled. And they marveled. I like Marvel comics and things like that. But this is the real deal. This is real miracles rocking real lives, impacting eternity. That's what God wants to do through you and me. Supernatural knowledge that you can't know. Prophecies that rocks generations to come. The power to tell demons to go to hell. Sickness to leave. And the greatest miracle of all is one heart that turns to Jesus. The greatest miracle is when one hard heart turns to Jesus. And it gives us that privilege. You need to just reposition yourself. You need to carry his presence. How do you carry his presence? It's through a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of prayer, continual fellowship with God, not working hard. It's about just turning to him and loving him and receiving from him, but worship. Guys, I mean, you already have awesome worship here, so you can take that into another dimension. What about worshiping on Sundays and people just randomly get healed as well? Or whatever else God wants to do. And we're seeing that more and more things like that just happening. We're not even laying hands on people. In the service, they get healed. We had a lady, I think her name is Marlies. We were at Shofar Durbanville. And just during worship time, the Holy Spirit came upon her. And she had major lung problems, asthma for something like 10 years, a lot of pills and things. She couldn't sleep as well. Insomnia. She couldn't do any aerobic exercise. So she was during worship. She says the next moment she felt a heat running through her lungs. And her lungs started to vibrate. And then she was completely healed. No pills. No. She could start doing exercise. Start to run that week. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Jesus praise for that. Come on. Jesus heals. Come on, let's say it. Jesus heals.
Jesus heals.
Come on, say it. I'm just a donkey.
I'm just a donkey.
Amen. Amen. So we don't get proud when miracles happen, because you know you're just the donkey. He gets all the glory. Amen. Praise be to God. So that's the sea. You need to carry the presence of God. Smith Wigglesworth said, we need to realize how wonderful we are in God and how useless we are without Him. You see, but we get this wrong. We try and say, oh, I'm so horrible. I'm such a bad sinner. I'm terrible. God hates me. He wants to clap me. I'm so, like Stefan shared, you feel so guilty. You feel so condemned. You feel so not good enough. That is so from the pit of hell. You need to realize who you are in Christ. Do you know that the sinner is dead? You're a saint. Amen. You're a saint that repents sometimes of the sin in your life. But you're no longer a sinner that just keeps on sinning. You need to see yourself differently. You are His beloved. He loves to be with you, loves to spend time with you. He just wants you to come, that He can love on you. He is for you, even when you're battling with sin. God does not look at you with a stick wanting to say stuff off. He's like, man, how can I help? I want to help you. So God wants to remove the condemnation of not feeling you're good enough and know that in Jesus, but we'll get there over this week and share about that. Then the D, desire. Desire. Matthew 22, verse 29. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He said, you are mistaken. Come on, say mistaken. You can translate, you are in error. You are deceived. Why? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Have you heard this before? You're told you must know the scriptures, otherwise you're going to get deceived. And yes, that's true. But Jesus says knowing the scriptures alone is not enough. You need to know the power of God. Jesus says you need to know the Word of God and the power of God. Some people don't know either. They're very deceived. But it's a lie to say, if I study for 30 years the Bible, I never pray for anybody, I never step out, I never walk in the power of God, that I'm going to be good. No, you're going to be deceived. The Pharisees were deceived. Studies are good, but study and the power of God. And unfortunately, the Church of Jesus Christ is sick with this. And I often hear these guys, you know, we know the Bible. 4 PhDs, we're going to tell you. You guys, you spirit people, you are so unbiblical. And I'm like, dude, you're not reading your Bible, are you? What about the miracles? What about what Jesus is saying? I'm going to get there tomorrow. But, I mean, it's just like, you're saying God is dead. That's what you're saying, because He's no longer doing miracles, and the power of God is no longer for today, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is no longer for today. You're deceived. If you don't know the power of God, you will wrongly interpret the scriptures. Because you will look from a point of perspective of a small God. A powerless small God. But when you read the scriptures and love the scripture from a position of power belongs to God. I'm anchored in Him. I believe that His power is for me and for through me right now. You're going to read the scriptures differently. And then when you start carrying His presence in your life, then you can release His presence into people's lives. And then the D is you need a desire. You need to. You will be deceived if you do not know the power. The Lord said to me, Andre, you don't know me if you don't know my power. You don't know me if you don't know my power. Why? Because He's powerful. He's powerful. How many times Jesus got frustrated with the disciples, like, you unbelieving generation. Jesus walked from a position of knowing the power of God and the kingdom came. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's say, this is for me. The power of God is for me. And this is the good news. You can have as much of God as you want. Sometimes we think like, oh man, when they, you know, at birth, you know, you stood in the queue of destinies being handed out. You were right at the back, Father Christmas with his big bag. And when it came to you, they were just the matchbox sized destiny. Oh, you little, just a little destiny for you, eh? Sorry, eh? God's not going to do great things in your life. That's a lie from the pit of hell. These signs will follow those who believe. And what you need, if you want to be launched into this, you need to hunger for this. You need to be desperate. I was desperate. My wife wasn't sleeping for 3 years. I was like, stuff it all. I'm going to do pit bull, just one direction. Power of God. Power of God. I mean, we've been told from pulpits it's dangerous to pursue the power of God because you're going to get deceived and whatever else. No, if you anchor it in the Word of God and you anchor that in the love of God and you anchor that in glorifying Christ and not yourself and you stay in community, you cannot go wrong. Amen. You need a desire. You need to be desperate. The Bible says it clearly. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But I'm not even saying desire spiritual gifts. It's desire His presence. Desire His presence. God, I want you. Tangibly. Not for me. For the world. So we were in this Cambridge location. I have these words. In 2013, we went to India. So end of 2012, we got the word of outpouring of healing coming. And now we're having my first missions trip. We're going to India. I was so terrified. Because India's got millions and millions of false gods. I'm like, oh my soul, there are a lot of demons. Does Jesus work in India? I didn't know if He does work in India. I've got good news for you. He works everywhere. There are no hard places for the kingdom of God. Amen. Every second pastor says, no, yo, our town, eh? The echo funny hell sit here. The gates of hell sits right here. Promise you, every second pastor will tell you, this is the most difficult town in the world. I say, absolute rubbish. There are no hard places for the kingdom of God. Amen. There are no hard places for Jesus. You must just shift the atmosphere, build out the right culture, and you're going to see the kingdom come. But I was with this Cambridge outreach. I have a word about doing. As in 2013, just before we went to India, I got this word. Andre, Lord just spoke to me and said, you are an evangelist. I'm like, you're joking, right? I'm the pray guy. I'm the guy that prays. I have a heart for the lost, but I'm the guy who prays. And the Lord says, now you're an evangelist. And over the last 6 years or so, man, I've just been pushing for miracles and wonders for the power of God and the presence of God. And people are getting saved. But I tell you, we were doing these 6 nights of outreaches in Cambridge. It's a little location in East London. And we put lamppost posters up everywhere, like on the lampposts. Evangelist Andre Kruger. I'm like, I'm stepping out. But I tell you, when you see, you know, we walk through those shacks. You know, we went into the shacks. You know, we went to pray with people. People that late, one lady says she's so drunk, and she's, please pray for me. I want to be set free from this alcohol. I want to be set free from this alcohol. You know, you walk there and you see the poverty and you see the destruction in families. You see the brokenness of lives. You know, and I while we were doing the outreach every night, you know, and preaching the gospel, something just shifted in me. I was like, God, I'm not after numbers. I'm not after hands raised. God, I'm after souls that are really, truly saved and set free. I think it was the Wednesday night that I was just weeping. I said, God, give me souls. Give me grace. Give me the power that when we preach the gospel, they don't only raise their hand to be saved. They meet with you. And their lives get rocked and their families get changed and generations are changed and we turn this hellhole into a place where Jesus reigns. Amen. And God wants to, but there's something on the inside of you that needs to shift. Like, you, God, we want more of you. We need more of you. We need more of you. And every time we do something, every time we, like, even this weekend, just week coming, it's just this week, I'm saying, God, give me more. Give me more so someone can encounter you. More of you. More surrendered of myself to you, but God, then more of you. God, give us more grace. Amen. I want to say to you, there is no limit on your life. There is no limit on your life except the limits you allow. The limits on your thinking. The limits on what, it's not for me. I rebuke those lies in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It entails life change. That is true. I don't live like other people. We don't live like other people. We don't watch rubbish. We don't allow nonsense into our hearts. We just, Jesus, more of you. We pursue God. Amen. So you need to actually start with a D, desire. You can have as much of God as you want. There are no limits. Then see, then you need to carry his presence, a lifestyle of worship, of prayer, of being in the word, anchored in the word. More of the word, more of the spirit. And then B, then you need to believe. The power of God is for me right now and through me right now. And then you need to step out. You need to risk it. You need to pray for somebody. You need to step out. You see, the miracle is in God's hands, but the stepping out is in yours. We would not be where we are today if I didn't do crazy, crazy stuff. Right, Jesus, catch us. We're jumping. We're jumping. That's the only way. You get over yourself, and I tell you, he normally pitches up. And then A, you're anchored in God. You are not moved by what you see. How does it normally work? We pray for somebody, nothing happens. Like, oh, okay, this is not for me. No, Jesus is the healer. That's who he is. I want to see it. I want to see it through my life. I want to see lives change because God loves them. Amen. Anchored. Come on, let's say, this is for me. This is for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to do some more, but are we going to stop there? Please stand with me. Sure, I can do three sessions on this first session. Thank you, Jesus.